Hey guys, I have a very special treat for you. I am on the phone with a very good friend of mine, but he also happens to be an expert. His name is Daniel Dennick, and he is the author of Over Her Overnight, which is the shortcut to getting over a breakup. Okay. Which, as I said in my newsletter and in the blog above, it's not just about getting over breakups from girls who you've been with for a very long time, like 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever it is. The materials that Dan actually teaches about are for women possibly who, you know, you've gone on 3 dates with, and you can use these tools as well to move past the pain that and frustration that person's possibly causing you. But I have him on the phone because I want to get right into this information that he's going to give you, because I think that it's wonderful, actionable advice that everybody, including myself, has needed at some point in time. So Dan, welcome, and thanks for talking to me today.
It's great to be here, Marnie.
So tell me a little bit about why you're the expert. Like how you obviously went through a breakup, so you went through the hard times, the bad times, and then discovered all of these things. But tell me about the breakup that made you want to create this product.
Well, several years ago, I want to say it was about 7 years ago, I broke up with my girlfriend from college and I moved to New York City. And very shortly after that, I met a girl that it was a lot like the story you were talking about. We were only together for about 3.5 months, but I really, really liked this girl. And, you know, looking back at how things played out, you know, there were some signs that it wasn't working out, but I was so enamored that I didn't see them at the time. So, you know, when she broke up with me, at first I didn't really accept it. I thought that she was saying, well, I have doubts and maybe we can work it out. But really what she was saying is that she doesn't want to work it out. And I remember for weeks after that, I was kind of walking around still thinking about it. Like I couldn't stop thinking about it. And a couple of months went by and I remember thinking to myself, like, you know, what's happening here? I don't get why I'm still this hung up on her.
Right. So,
And it, you know, it got to me. And I remember there was a point where I went to Barnes and Noble and I actually went to their relationship section, hoping that nobody would see me. And I picked up some books on how to do
it. Or that you'd meet another girl who's also heartbroken. Could have been a win-win.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't know how attractive I would have been with a stack of how to get over a breakup sitting in the
That's Barnes true. Noble. Very true.
But I remember going through those books, and they were all written for women. And that didn't really, you know, at the time, these pink fonts and all this, like it didn't make me feel any better.
It wasn't your thing? You didn't like it?
And so I thought that, you know, there must be something, my situation must be unique because clearly all these books are written for women. And then a few months after that, I went to, I actually went to one of David D'Angelo's events. And there's about 400 other guys there, this whole big thing. And that's what they were all talking about. For the first time, I realized that it wasn't just me, that guys really do go through this. And that really kind of opened up something for me. I realized that, you know, most guys don't like to talk about it. We don't really know how to handle it. We don't really have it's a deeply emotional time for all of us, but we don't really have a vocabulary to describe it. So that became the focus of my coaching after that. I realized that a lot of guys really do get stuck here. And that most guys with any kind of life experience have had that one breakup that they couldn't play off, that really shook them up and really affected their confidence and really kind of kept their life on hold for months and sometimes even years.
Yeah, trust me, I hear about it all the time, even from guys who went on a couple of dates with a girl, you know, where they get so hung up on this woman because they're so convinced that there was something there when if there was something there, they would be together. That's the honest to God truth. But they lock themselves into this woman and trying to get her back or trying to win her over again. And they totally cut themselves off from other options for months, potentially even for years, simply because they can't let go.
And it's
sad.
It's especially hard for a lot of guys get into this area of dating and attraction because of that one breakup. They're, in their mind, they're thinking, well, if I learn all these techniques, maybe I can get her back. And at some level, they have that girl in mind. And that's, that's what propelled me to get into it, was the pain of a breakup. And, but again, a lot of guys think that, they're the only ones that are going through it. And so that phase afterwards, where you're still dealing with all those ups and downs, and you're still hoping that there might still be a chance, and maybe you reach out hoping that her response is going to be different, it turns into this whole cycle of pain and disappointment. And it can really take a guy out for a while.
As I said in the newsletter that I wrote in the blog, above where this MP3 is going to live, like, I completely understand what you're saying, because what happens is you really just end up playing games with yourself. You have all of these emotions that the other person isn't feeling. So it's like you are sitting with every single emotion that this person's just living their lives. The other person that broke up with you or that doesn't like you as much as you like them, they're just living their lives. They're not thinking about it as much as you are. So you're continuously getting emotionally charged. But what you're doing is sort of just like fucking with yourself. You're playing games with yourself and trying to work out scenarios all alone without having somebody else to work with. So
you saw that scene in Dumb and Dumber where I think it was Jim Carrey's saying, "Hey, so what would you say is our chances?" And she says, "Well, 1 in 1,000,000." And,
so there's a chance.
Yeah, and so any text you get, any way that she reaches out can be, it can be interpreted as, wow, she's still interested. She still wants this. And, right. And when you want it that bad and you're in that much pain, see it any other way.
Yeah. And I actually had a client recently where I talked to him and I said, well, this is your addiction right now. And any little tidbit that you get from her is feeding into your addiction so that you can calm yourself and keep going. So for you, what was the first thing that you learned about from gathering all this information and talking with all of these guys? What was the first step that you took to getting over the emotional attachment to your ex?
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned the whole addiction part of it, because as it turns out, this isn't the most romantic way to look at it, I understand, but it turns out that you know that the mental pain of rejection actually, overlaps with the area that feels real physical pain. There is that, but in addition to that, they've shown that that your brain chemistry during that time right afterwards is a lot like a cocaine addict withdrawing from a drug addiction. So really? It isn't necessarily just all in your head. It is actually your it's kind of nature's way of punishing you for not doing, your job as a man and getting that girl, so to speak.
Really?
And so there's a real tangible, measurable chemical withdrawal that happens when you're going through this time. So what you were saying to that client is literally true.
Okay. So then what's the best thing to do to fight this addiction?
Well, part of it is how you would deal with any addiction. You've heard of things like doing no contact and not talking with your ex, but also looking at it as seeing it as a brain chemistry issue actually helps you get a little bit removal from it.
For sure.
And doing all the things that help balance your brain chemistry, it can be anything from changing up your surroundings, anything like changing your routines, hanging out with new friends, listening to all new music, changing all of the anchors that you have to even that period of time that you were with her. Because even changing up your apartment is going to make it a lot easier. And also making it a point to, like we were saying earlier, treat it as if it is an addiction. Because what happens when somebody is addicted, they keep rationalizing. They keep looking for another reason why, if I just have this one drink, or if I just, this doesn't count. So actually understanding that you're kind of, you're fallible when it comes to her. You're not seeing straight. And
right. That
whole thing about the mental pain of rejection and cocaine, it's a lot like getting kicked in the nuts and withdrawing from cocaine at the same time. So you aren't thinking straight. So yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like even exercise would be something that would be great.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anything that helps change up your body chemistry, getting enough sunlight, going out to parks, going, You know, getting a good amount of exercise, they've shown that cardiovascular exercise, sustained cardiovascular exercise, is almost like a reset button for your brain. It helps kind of rebalance the chemicals. And it's interesting because when most of us go through this, especially guys, we tend to hole up a little bit. We tend to, as men, our natural response is to kind of go into our man cave, so to speak. And women seem to naturally, even before breakup happens, they intuitively start to reach out and make connections with other people. They start to draw emotional energy from other people in their life. And one of the things that a lot of us guys do is that we don't do that. And just having some close female friends and having new friends, people who didn't know you as a couple, that allows you to kind of transition into that identity of being a single person.
For sure.
Really helps. You have, you know, if you've met people who are outrageously positive and almost to the point where you don't believe them, go hang out with them because that's going to rub off on you. They're not going to let you wallow you know, their energy is going to transfer over. And it's also really important to have a couple of friends to talk about this stuff with, but also put a limit on it because you don't want to become that guy who keeps talking about his ex.
Right.
It's one of those things that after a certain point, mulling it over, talking about it again and again, actually just makes it worse. It becomes this repetitive, habitual pain that can actually make you not fun to hang out with.
Right. No, trust me, I know, because I was that person for a year after my breakup. And I will say one thing, and I know it's not my friend's responsibilities, it's only my responsibility, but I wish that my friends had been more honest with me. And this is, maybe it's a girl thing. I'm not sure if guys are the same way. But like, I know that, you know, there is a grieving period where friends give you a short period after you do break up with somebody where you are allowed to sort of, you know, be stupid in your mind and make excuses and all that stuff. But I do wish that after a certain period of time where I was starting to sound crazy and I felt crazy. I knew I was, but they didn't tell me that I was. Is there something that you can, like advice you can give to people listening, of guidance you can give to your friends to help you? And I know it's not the friend's responsibility, but of what they can do to help you get over the breakup.
I'm really glad that you brought that up. One of the things that you can do is, you know, look at it like, you know, if I were to invite you over to my house and say, hey, Marnie, let's come, you know, come over, hang out. And then you come over and I have all these, you know, paint things around. I'm like, hey, can you help me paint? And it's like, oh, okay, cool. And the second time I invite you over, the same thing happens. Like, oh, a little weird. And then the third time when I reach out, you're like, nah, I'm not falling for that one. You know?
Yeah, I don't want to paint.
And so one of the things you can do to help your friends help you is to frame it ahead of time. You know, if you're in that place where you really need to get it off your chest, you really need to kind of think out loud. When you're hanging out, say, all right, for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to talk about this. And it would help so much if you listened. And just, you know, you don't necessarily have to give opinions or perspective. I just want to kind of vent this right now. And then when we're done, you can even put a timer on. When we're done for the rest of the night, we're going to hang out. We're going to talk about other stuff. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to do what we normally do as friends. So that way your friends can actually help. Your friends do want to help you. If you're lucky enough to have a couple of friends that are good listeners, they do want to help. But at the same time, when you keep talking about it, you're not only pushing them away and being kind of a buzzkill, but at the same time, you're also, again, you're perpetuating, you're not allowing yourself to have those good emotions that just come from hanging out with your friends. Because your mind...
Exactly.
So if you frame it ahead of time and say, you know, this is what I, if you could listen, hear me out for 20 minutes and then afterwards, let's hang out. You'll probably find your friends are a lot more excited about helping you, and you're also going to feel a lot better when you hang out with them.
Okay. That's awesome. That's very good advice. And I know that you have a program all about how to get over your ex. So, or get over an ex. But this program helps people, again, like as I said in the beginning of the call, get over girls they may have just gone out with a couple of times, as well as girls that they've been with for, you know, numerous years, correct?
Yes. And it really doesn't have anything to do with time. You know, when you fall in love with somebody, that withdrawal that I was talking about is just the same way. The pain that you feel afterwards, when you feel that strong connection and it's kind of ripped away from you, it doesn't really matter how long you were together. That's why, you know, when you hear things like it takes half as long as you were with somebody to get over it, it has nothing to do with that. It has more to do with how powerful it was. Now, if you were with somebody for a long time, there is this feeling of starting over. There is this feeling of, every time you texted them, they texted back. You were used to having all these little ways that you connect and spending the evenings or the weekends with them. And suddenly when that's taken away, then it's a bigger change to deal with. But the core of what's going on is really the same.
Okay. I do have one question, actually, because this was something that I hear from a lot of clients, but that I also went through a lot. How do you stop yourself from rationalizing things? Like, I know I would talk to lots of friends and I wasn't really listening to their advice that they were giving to me, and everything that they would say, I would always say, but he said this, but in my mind, I always held on to that 2% that was positive, like you said before. Yes. With the Dumb and Dumber quote. But so how do you stop yourself or even acknowledge that you're in that space where people are telling you, okay, this, she's not into you, you're not going to win, you're never going to win her over. How do you stop from really believing that it's going to happen? Like, and acknowledge that you're a little bit delusional.
Well, you bringing that up in and of itself should, it's such a big deal. And I'm really, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that time when you're rationalizing, you can't see it. Admitting that you can't see it is a big part of it, because you're right, you do make excuses and you do, you hold on to that possibility, and that's okay. Part of it is just accepting that that's where you're at. Now, catching yourself rationalizing is a little bit trickier, because rationalization, most of the time, by definition, it covers its tracks. It's not going to be something that you catch yourself doing.
Right.
One of the best ways that I know of to do this is to find your three closest trusted friends and ask them, does she make me a better man? Do you see me more confident, more powerful, a better version of myself when I'm talking about her, when I'm with her, or have I become less powerful? Are you seeing another side of me that you're saying, hey, that's not you, and really, I did this, a couple years ago when I had to make the choice myself to break up. And I remember I called my three closest friends, and the hardest thing to do was to not make excuses and say, so what do you see? And give me your honest perspective. Does she make me a better man? And to my surprise, I got a consensus. All three friends said the same thing. And I had all kinds of excuses in my head for why they might be wrong, or they don't see the whole picture, or they didn't hear her say this, and right. I had all of that. And one of the hardest things to do was to bench all of that and say, okay, I'm compromised, so to speak. I can't see straight, and they know what's best for me. And about a month after that, after that panic and that holding on began to lift up, I saw it too. I saw how I was rationalizing and making excuses and really holding on. And so acknowledging that you can't see straight, and if you're lucky enough to have three friends that you can, you have to make it safe for them. You have to make it safe for them to give you an honest answer, because otherwise, like you were saying, it's hard for friends to be honest. If you've ever had that situation where you go to your friend and you're saying, oh well, my girlfriend or my boyfriend did this and this and this, and they're like, and they side with you, and they're sympathetic, and the next day you're like, oh no, it's all fine. Your friends can't deal with that stuff. And so if they're like, yeah, you don't belong together, your friends don't want you to penalize them for giving you, for being honest. And so also setting up that conversation by saying, hey, look, I know that I can't see straight right now. I know that, I'm holding on to the even slightest possibility. What do you see? How do I come across when I'm talking about her? How have you seen my progression? Have you seen me become more powerful being with her? Have you seen me become more anxious and needy? And what do you see?
I like that. Those are really good answers. But so that's fantastic with the whole mental part, because that's like the hardest part to get a grip on. And so on the flip side, what you were saying, the way to, you know, get over an ex, again, whether it's someone you're dating twice or for 10 years, it's really to switch up your brain chemistry and your lifestyle. And I believe that you like give tons of guidance about how to do that, because I know that actually, like, yes, it's a great statement to say, like, switch up your life, but you give step-by-step instructions on how to do it, what you did, suggestions for things to people to do in your program, right?
The idea behind it is shortcuts, and I like to look at it as, you know, reset switches.
Okay.
When you do a certain set of things and you kind of stack them, you do them all at the same time, it gives you forward momentum. And once you have that momentum, you know, it becomes easier and easier. And it's just like taking on anything else that can be really hard. It's about creating that forward momentum and then building on it constantly. And so, okay, you know, part of it's the mental part. You know, when you catch yourself with those ruminating thoughts and thinking about conversations and what you would say next, and learning ways to catch those and ways to, you know, change up your, like we were talking about before, doing things to help kind of reset your body chemistry. These things all feed into each other. So the more you, and I like to kind of use the analogy of a riptide. You know, you don't necessarily, you know, when you're stuck in a riptide, you don't want to swim against it because it's going to wear you out. So
Right. You're
having some really powerful feelings that are okay. It's natural. If you cared about her enough to be heartbroken, you're going to go through some pain. It's pretty,
right.
You know, this is the human experience, and all of these songs and, you know, poetry wouldn't have been written if this didn't happen to all of us. But at the same time, again, the same way with the riptide is that you want to slowly move yourself out of it, so you're not, you know, so you're not right up against it. And the way that you can do that is by these little ways to kind of ratchet up your life and change things around. Sometimes you have to go cold turkey. Sometimes you,
right.
She disappears. Sometimes she stops talking to you. Sometimes she's with another guy. There's a lot of there's a lot of situations that kind of require its own approach.
Okay. No, I love this. So what would be one, I know that's hard to say, but one piece of advice that you would give to the people who are listening to this? Like, what is the like one thing they could do right now to get over that girl that's driving them crazy?
Well, yeah, one thing is a bit hard, but the first one would be just to focus on getting over her. And for a while, you know, say, okay, I'm going to save her for later.
Okay.
How about I rule her out as an option for a while? And, you know, you might have heard the saying that 50% of your worries vanish as soon as you make a decision.
Right.
And the other 40% go away as soon as you start taking action on it. And what tends to keep guys in that cycle of pain and disappointment is that they stay on the fence. They don't actually, at no point are they ever 100% saying, okay, I'm ruling her out as an option. Now, when you get to that 100%, even for a little bit, your whole psychology starts to rearrange itself to adapt to this new life that you're entertaining.
Okay.
And when you do that, a lot of the other techniques and tricks work much easier. But the decision has to be there. When you're holding out and you're still thinking, well, she's not really with anyone else yet, or, you know, she sent me that text and like I said, you're thinking about the next thing that you're gonna say to her, you really don't get a chance to entertain that option without her. Because the more you focus on potentially building a life that is just as fulfilling without her, the more that's going to start to compete with that dismal feeling of, oh, how am I going to, you know, how am I going to be without her, and things aren't going to be the same without her, and I'll never find a girl like her again. The more you start to really focus, give your chance to focus on that other image, it's going to get stronger and stronger.
Love that. Good answer and good place for us to finish off our interview. So Dan, why don't you tell people, actually I'll tell people how to get more information from you, because I want them to have the steps after that first step, because that first step is actually like absolutely amazing, and I could have used it, I'm not going to say how many years ago, because I said how old I was when I was crazy, and I don't want to reveal how old I am now. Just kidding.
That was a really compelling story, by the way. When I read it, I felt myself kind of going through that whole emotion. And I like how you also had the little little asterisks at the end where you're like, oh, and by the way, it was just, I only knew him for 2 months.
But that's the whole thing. Like the person who I became the most wrapped up in, was the one that was the shortest period of time. And I realized that there was a pattern going on that I had had in previous relationships. And I probably had a little bit in other relationships after that, but they had subsided a little bit after I had gone through the first process. But I did a lot of work on myself. And since then, I've continued to do work so that I can let go of things a lot faster. And everything that you're teaching and that I teach and that we talk about, it's not about like turning off your human emotions, because we're not telling you that you will never feel anything again. What we're helping you do is we're helping you get over it faster, so it doesn't like spin you into this negative spiral. I always say that being a confident person doesn't mean you walk around with a smile on your face 24/7, not thinking anything negative will happen. It just means you have a tool belt full of tools that will help you get back to a confident place much faster than had you not had those tools.
Absolutely. And that bit where you were saying that there was some pattern there, you know, it's hard to see it when you're in it. But one of the biggest values that people get in the long run from going through something this intense, and a lot of guys will tell you this after they've moved on, is that you can actually see that pattern. And something about the guy that you were describing, he kind of went in there and pushed certain buttons. And and you having some perspective on that is probably what helped you build that confidence over time, because you're like, wait a second, now I have an idea of what's happening. You know, when in relationships, this is where I freak out. This is what I do. This is what I'm scared of. And that's when you can start to wrap your mind around a lot of those fears and deal with them. And the confidence starts to take care of itself after that.
I love it. Well, I want people to hear more information because I want them to have the other tools that they need so they can have a full tool belt. So I have provided, there's a link below this MP3. You can also download this MP3 so that you can listen to it in your car, in the bathroom, wherever the hell you want to listen to it. But download the MP3, but also go check out more of Dan's materials. Because they're freaking amazing. And if you're experiencing this right now, or if you haven't even experienced it yet, but could potentially experience it in the future, I think that these tools, I know that these tools will help you deal with it a lot faster, a lot better, and get back to being this calm, cool, confident man that you really want to be, rather than a crazy person like me. But Dan, thank you so much for being on this call. I know that we had to rearrange a couple of times, but it worked out perfectly. We're just at 30 minutes where we wanted to be, and you were awesome.
Perfect. Thanks, Marnie.
Thank you.